خلاص موافق. أنا يعني كمان ياد. Well, I have you. I'm going to send you a name and a phone number of a lady who's willing to help you with a contribution or goods or whatever you need for the people
Okay.
that you're helping. So I'll send you an email in just a
okay.
little while after the class.
All right. Thank you.
Hello.
Good evening.
How is everyone?
Great, thank you.
I hope you had a comfortable, happy holiday.
We did.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're in section 10 of the Parsha of Noah. We're starting at verse 64. And we'll start with the Lishem Yichud.
Ruby.
Did we get cut off?
I don't know. I just dialed in.
Okay, well, I got
I think we were cut off.
We were on, and then it went blank, so maybe I touched
okay.
you.
Sorry for the disconnection.
Okay, good. Glad we're back.
Me too.
I thought it was you.
No, it wasn't you. It was a call that came in unexpectedly and at the same time I was triggering something. So.
Okay.
I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Kei Bit Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei B'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononehu Keturei Ramai Dikas Torei Dehahu Sitra Anan Petichan Anin Petichan Udnin Komin Kalaya Nachet Meila Letata Matabar Dorin Betinarin Maninun Dechaman Vilachaman Atimin Udnin Satimin Anin Lachaman Vilashamin Layadin Vesuklatanu Adikdik Lila Bitrem Begat Gav Hu Pichayan Lea Levar. We are the high ties of the greatest of fortresses. The term ties refers to the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, which are called three ties. In other words, our nefesh, our ruach, and our neshama are tied together in the central column, which is the strongest of all the fortresses. It is capable of standing up to the other side. Therefore, the eyes and the ears are open, meaning Chachma and Bina, who are called eyes and ears. A voice from the voices descends from above and smashes mountains and rocks, meaning that the central column, which is called the voice and is Da'at, includes the three voices of Chachma, Bina, and Da'at, of Da'at. But only one voice descends and illuminates from above downward, and smashes all the strong clipot that are called mountains and rocks. But the two upper voices, which are Hatma and Bina of Dat, are not drawn down. Those who see, yet do not see, and who have become hard of hearing and have difficulty seeing, who do not see, do not hear, and do not know how to understand the one located and included between the two, they are pushed out. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I never took Da'at to be treated like that, Da'at of Da'at and Bina of Da'at, because I thought Da'at only appeared when Keter, influenced by Keter. So it's like Da'at has a sephirot all of its own too.
Yes, because if Da'at has been counted as one of the ten, then every one of the sephirot has ten within it.
Okay.
So if you count Da'at as one of the ten, then it has to have ten within it.
Okay.
Da'at represents the center point, the binding by striking between Chachma and Bina. It's that point between your unconscious and your conscious. That's what that represents. Go ahead.
What is the rationale? I mean, I've read where Dot is not a sephirot of his own. What's the rationale for that?
If you are looking up to count to the ten sephirot starting from Malchut, you can't see Keter. It's too high. It's too close to the Ein Sof. And therefore, it can't be seen. It can't be counted. But if you're looking down from the Ein Sof, you see the Keter. And there are always 10 sephirot. There's never 9 and there's never 11.
Okay.
This is from the Sefer Yetzirah. If there's 9, it's because you can't see the Keter, but what's taking its place? That if nothing takes its place, then it's 9. And if you're looking up and you see Keter, or you're looking down and you see Keter, you also could see Da'at, but then you would have 11. So there
okay,
are always 10 sephirot. Never 9 and never 11.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's kind of how sometimes we see the 12 tribes of Jacob. Sometimes you count you see 13, sometimes you see 12. Because Levites are normally not counted, in some of the studies.
Well, the way to understand that is Jacob had 12 sons.
Right.
But then he added two.
Right.
He added Manasseh and Ephraim.
Right.
So now he has 14 sons. But Joseph is by himself because he's the king of Egypt. So there's only 13 tribes. And then when the temple is functioning, the Levites and the Kohanim who come from the Levites are there. So now you have 12 tribes. And this is how you get the confusion between the 12 and the 13. Because when he adopted the two sons of Joseph, essentially they became 13 tribes. because there was 12. He got two, but really only one, because two sons just replaced the one son of Joseph. So that's how the 13 comes from. And also, when the Mashiach comes, there will be 13. And that's why you're hearing in modern astrology that there's 13 astrological signs, and it gets very confusing to the Western world, who's so used to the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Can we go back to what you said about the ones that can't see and the ones that cannot hear? Or
yeah,
I forgot what word.
It's at the end of verse 64.
So due to their, and I'll call it handicap, they cannot participate in the seeing and the hearing of the voice that comes down. Hello?
I'm here. I'm trying to determine how to answer your question. Because essentially,
okay,
this verse is extremely esoteric. And it's only because of Rabbi Ashlag even giving us a hint here of these code words does it even start to make some sense. But now when it says those who see and those who do not see, and who have become hard of hearing and have difficulty seeing, are they speaking about human beings? Are they speaking about the Sephirot of Da'at? Why would they be pushed out? And what does it mean they are pushed out? So you have to really first decide, are they talking about human beings? If they're not talking about human beings, they must be talking about these levels of consciousness within Dot. And your hint to the answer to that question is this, the last sentence of, who do not see, who do not hear, and do not know how to understand. Know is dot, understand is bina. The one located and included between the two, that would be dot, because it represents the binding by striking point, the central point between the two, Chachma and Bina, the conscious and unconscious, and they are pushed out. So the hint is that it's talking about these Sephirot. And why are they pushed out? Because Dot wants to be a Sephirot. But it can't be, otherwise there would be 11.
So it only appears when Chokmah and Bima needs to, I'll say, push out their light to the to the other vessels?
No. Chokmah and Bima, the supernal Chokmah and Bima are always in Zivug. They're always in unity. They never separate. So what gets pushed out, if they never separate and they're always in unity, what need is there for a central column? Because they are the central column.
I my understanding is that we as the vessels coming down cannot consume the pure light that they are radiating through the the columns, the Tree of Life.
Well, again, we always need to talk about relativity, Malka. Always think in terms of relativity. So are you talking about after the cleansing, or are you talking about before the cleansing?
Before the cleansing is my thought.
Okay. Then there is a need for, Malka, the light needs to come down, but the vessels, the lower sephirot, aren't able to handle it. And so therefore, Dot is needed because it balances the light and creates it. You see, you have Chachma, Bina, and Dot of Dot. It's an extremely esoteric verse. It's very difficult to understand. And I'm not even sure that, I'm quite sure I don't understand it.
Well,
but I'm trying to help.
I consider that the concealed light, which, you know, it's part of the concealed light from creation, is my thought.
Correct.
Right? So
the concealed light from creation is Arichandya. It's in the level of Keter.
Hanak?
Yes?
Oh, is Dot kind of look back kind of like a key between Chokhmah and Bina?
Yes, ma'am?
When you say key, I'm not sure what you mean.
I mean, like, I don't know if it's understanding, but for drawing that light. Because I guess when you said before, if you were looking up, you would count it as a separate sephirot. But if you were looking down, you wouldn't.
That is the central column. As light flows down into this world, which is the highest sephirot is chesed, that light flows through Dot. It flows through Dot to become balanced. That's what the central column represents. Bina gives birth. Who is she giving birth to? She's giving birth to the emotions in Zerantin, and she's giving birth to the daughter, which is Malchut. Bina's giving birth to the two levels of male and female. That has to come in a balanced way. If Bina gives birth in an unbalanced way, she's going to go directly into Gevurah. That's when people speak of the vessels cannot handle the light, they're speaking of the light coming directly from Bina. But when it comes through Dot, it becomes balanced. Everything is always relative. You have to define your frames of reference, which is why I asked the question, are you talking before the cleansing and after the cleansing? The flood is the cleansing. Why is Noah and his three sons and wives saved? Because they're in the ark. The ark is the central column. When you're in the central column, when you're in the present moment,
can't talk to Pat.
There's no negativity. There's no negativity that it can attach itself to you.
To seven.
It can only be attached when you're in the other columns, when you're out of balance. I didn't mean to interrupt. Please go ahead. I know you have more questions. Did I disconnect?
No.
No.
But
okay.
I got someone at my door, so I had to get up and leave. So I'm back, so.
Welcome back. It's a verse that it's really very confusing. Because it can be understood in many different ways. But it's talking about Chachma Bina. It's talking about Chesed Gevura Tiferet, all within the frame of Dat, within the frame of knowledge. Does knowledge ever end? Malchut represents end. There's a beginning, which is Chachma, and there is an end, which is Malchut. But the end is when Chachma is revealed in Malchut. How does that happen? We're taught to think, or we've always discussed thinking, the light flows from Bina to Chesed, from Chesed to Gevurah, from Gevurah to Tiferet, Tiferet to Netzach, Netzach to Hod, Hod to Yesod, and then finally to Malchut. But there's another way. Not really another way. There's a process where Chachma goes to Bina, and then Bina and Chachma reveal themselves in Dat, and Dat flows down to Tiferet, Tiferet to Yesod, and Yesod to Malchut. And when you follow that path, there's no negativity. Because it's only when you're not balanced can negativity attach itself to you. Negativity, what does negativity want? It wants the front. Remember, male and female were created back to back, but then they were turned around. And they face each other face to face. So the negativity can attach itself to the back, but that's not harmful. It's just, you know, it's a little bit extra weight, so to speak, metaphorically.
I think this is the first time we're really getting more knowledge about Dot. I mean, yes, we've seen it on the grid, you know, with a circle that's dotted, and yes, we knew that. If Keter was shining, Dot wasn't present. And if Dot was shining, then Keter wasn't present. And I think that's about all that I've come across in with it dealing with Dot. We just haven't had very much. It was a little bit in the Sephiroth. Yes, the Sephiroth.
That is true.
No,
that
but this is the first time we're really getting the idea that it's actually a Sephiroth.
Your statement is true, but the reason is that we've never studied the 10 luminous emanations. In the 10 luminous emanations, there are 16 chapters that describe how the worlds are created, the Sephirot are created, and how they all flow and how they move against each other. And there is, for the most part, there is this chapter 5 titled Mati Velo Mati. And the translation is, it's there and it's not there. And it's talking about how the life flows, how sometimes it's in Geburah, but then it's not there. It's in Tiferet, or it's in Hod. How it moves. But think of the... Let me finish one second. Think of Malchut as a manifestation. Now apply that concept to the word knowledge. Can you manifest knowledge? And the answer is not by itself. Knowledge without engineering, knowledge without pure science, wisdom, understanding, knowledge cannot be manifested by itself. That's the way I found it, my ability to understand that more effectively. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't hear who was asking the question.
It's me, Hanak, Ruby. At the seed level for all of the light, doesn't it start at Keter if you're looking down?
All of the light is concealed. It is in the Keter. In the Keter, there is all of the Sephirot. They're all there, but they're unified. There's no separation. Now, what does that mean? If they're all unified, there's only one Sephirot. And that's Keter. I know that's confusing, and it's something that really needs to be contemplated. Because you're really addressing the question that people have asked for thousands of years, for generations, from the beginning of time. There's one God, yes? Of course, there's only one God. So then who are you? If there's one God, who are you? An aspect of God? A portion, a part of God? But if there's one, how can there be separation? The typical response, and I hope I'm not offending anybody to discuss it this way, but the Trinity of the Catholic Church, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, why did the children of Israel, why does the Jewish world have a problem with that? Because their teachings is God is one. There's no separation. Now, once you start to study Kabbalah, not only do you have a trinity of three, you have a trinity of 10. There's 10 Sephirot. The beginning Kabbalah student has no problem with that. Because he or she is looking at the world of separation. Everything we perceive comes through the concept of separation. We say there's one God, but we don't know what that means. How do we implement that? Now, when I say to you those 10 are actually one, all unified in the Keter, what does that have to do with it? Is there one God? Is there 10? Is there 7.5 billion gods? One for each human being.
Anak, could it be looked at
as
like...
Have to add- God forbid, Chas v'Shalom. Yes, go ahead, Ruby.
When you're talking about the 10 sephirot all being unified within Keter, and you ask the question, is there one God or is there 10? Can you look at that as like not as 10 gods, but different levels of consciousness that represent God?
But if it's less than, if it's a level of consciousness, then there's another level of consciousness. There's separation and there's not one, is there? How do I reconcile this paradox?
Well, I think it's kind of like the story of the elephant. You know, somebody is, if you have people who are blindfolded and one grabs a leg and one grabs the trunk and one grabs the tail and they describe the animal that they're touching, they're all going to have a different description. But it's still
correct.
One animal, you know. You could almost do the same thing with the human body. And it's saying, well, if you had blindfolded people and this one grabbed an arm and this one pulled on the hair and this one pulled on the leg, they'd all have a different description, but it's still one. But yet, with the physical eyes, because they're blinded with the blindfold, they can't see the whole, the oneness, the unity.
And now you get back to the words of this pasuk. Those mm-hmm. do not see, those who do not hear, and they get pushed out. You need to be able to reconcile. Even, Hannah, just take your sentence. They're holding the tail of the elephant. And they're describing the tail of the elephant. Is that the elephant? Answer is no. It's something less than the whole of the elephant. And when you say, oh, but it's one animal, it's one elephant, that's a consciousness, it's a leap of consciousness, a leap of, I don't want to say faith, because that gets into a whole religious issue, but it's a leap of consciousness. How do I go from what I'm feeling, I'm blindfolded, I'm feeling the tail, how do I go to the concept that there's an animal that is more than what I am feeling? That's a leap of consciousness. That is one of the central essences of this pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
What is being pushed out? There are people who do not recognize the separation. There are people who do not recognize that there are spiritual worlds. You all know them. You've all met them. You all interact with them. You all allow them to affect your level of consciousness. We've spoken about how the society impacts us. And the Kabbalah is saying to us, recognize how the society impacts you, so that you can make that leap of consciousness.
Hello?
Yes.
Where is consciousness in the human body?
It's not in the human body. It's outside of the human body.
So are you talking?
A sephirah is a level of consciousness. Where is your brain? It's in your body. It's in your head. Where is your mind? Many people will use those two terms interchangeably. My brain is my mind. but it's not. Your brain is a physical organ. Your mind is your consciousness. Look at what we say. Make up your mind.
So are you saying it's emotions? The emotions?
No, emotions are not in the head. Actually, that's a little bit of a misconception, but it's going to confuse you if I try to explain it to you now. So just accept that that your emotions are not in your head. Your emotions are chemicals, are hormones. Can somebody put a rush of adrenaline into your body? You release the adrenaline in your body, but if I took a shot, somebody put a shot of adrenaline into your body, would you have the same emotions that you had before that adrenaline went into your body? But the adrenaline doesn't really affect your mind. It'll affect your brain, so it's affecting the receiving of that level of consciousness. The question that's asked that starts you down this path is, where do your thoughts come from? And we've described there's two radio stations playing. One is Satan that tells you, go do this wrong action. And one is Hashem who tells you, follow the Torah. Make up your mind. Which one are you following at this moment? Which Sephirah are you following?
So you're saying it's a spiritual entity.
Well, I am saying what is a spiritual entity? Thought? Mind? What are you asking about?
Is that a question?
I don't mean
for me?
To be. Yes, it is. I don't mean to be esoteric, but the statement that you're saying, so it is a spiritual entity, I don't know what it applies to. Do you?
Well, the reason I ask that question is because we use that word a lot, consciousness and unconsciousness.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay,
yes.
I need to really define that word in a spiritual term, and I'm not quite sure.
I'm ready to give you the answer then. I'm ready to give you the answer.
Okay.
Consciousness is a desire to receive. What is the fulfillment of a desire to receive? It's light. If I don't have a desire to receive, I don't receive light. I don't receive fulfillment. And that's the secret of Mati Velo Mati. It comes and it doesn't come. If I desire it, it comes. It's instantaneous, just like in the endless world. If I have a desire, a true desire, that's malchut. Without malchut, without that manifested state of desire, life cannot come to fulfill it. And that's how you begin to integrate the concept of 10 is really 1. And we could talk about this for about 35 years. And I'm joking at 35 years because it's really, it would be 1,035 years.
So that desire can work both ways, for good and or for evil.
There's a false alarm in the building, false fire alarm, so ignore the background noises. But it's actually Satan who is saying, I don't want this conversation to continue.
Yeah, the lady at the door, I said I'd be off at 7, and I guess she's still standing outside. Oh, well.
I can kind of be stubborn. I can continue to ask some questions.
So I'm going to ask you, what was funny about the statement, Satan doesn't want it to continue? Who's in charge in this world?
Satan?
No, Hashem.
No. The answer is, who is in charge of the physical world? Satan is in charge of the physical world. It's
right.
Only when you choose to push yourself out that you connect to Hashem, and you're no longer in the physical world. You're in a spiritual world. The eyes still see the illusion, but your consciousness is very different.
Well, you know, on that message that you read, the meaning of Teshuvah by Rabbi Sadok.
Yes.
I also received that commentary, and there was, I remember the graphic, do not attempt a single day without God, without me, and it's signed God.
Right.
So, you know, I think when we began to see, I don't know, months back, when we had the lessons, I don't remember exactly which one it was, but the idea of seeing God face to face was when you were seeing God as your friend. And I think, you know, I think that's the stage where you say Hashem is in charge rather than Satan. I feel like Satan takes a back seat. But that's my feeling, you know.
And you're absolutely right. I was answering the question, who's in charge of the physical world?
Every time that alarm goes off, I pay it no mind, because you always say disregard that noise. So it doesn't bother me anymore. It's like I don't hear it.
Well, Hashem. Now relate that to the verse, those who hear, those who don't see, all of that.
Mm-hmm. And see, I'm always saying I get a phone call at this time or two, or someone knocks on my door, and I usually hang up and go, you know, pick it up, or I go to the door. But this time I didn't, you know, it was like, well, I'm drawing the line, I'm not moving.
Rather than get angry at a situation, say in your mind, get away from me, Satan. It's your spouse, it's your friend, it's your children. They're doing something that upsets you. Get away from me, Satan. Now, of course, your children or your spouse are not Satan, but their actions are. Their actions are being motivated by Satan to give you an opportunity to rise above it, for you to choose Hashem, not Satan. And that's your reaction. Your reaction is Satan. Your proaction is Hashem. And that's built into this pasuk we've been talking about. But I think we're out of time, and I think... I think we have to we're out of time, but it's also this recording, when I get it on the recording list, is something that needs to be heard many, many times. Would you all agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know what you all hear, but I don't hear just now. It wasn't an announcement about a fire alarm. It was very ugly noises.
Yes, that's... You should see the bright spinning light that they shine, that I have to close my eyes to keep it out. But then when I close my eyes, I see everything. You know, it's like every meditation. How many people meditate with their eyes open?
That's most of mine. Because most of the time it's, you know, you're just there. You know, for example, I think I told you the example that we were in the parking lot of Walgreens waiting for prescriptions. And you get this image or you get these thoughts, you know. When I heard just that noise just a while ago, what I saw was one of those creatures one time you had on one of your commentaries that I didn't like.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
We have two classes tonight, one at 7 o'clock West Coast time and one at 8:30. 8:30 is the Tikkuni Zohar, and 7 o'clock is continuing about Teshuvah. And tomorrow morning at 7:30 will be Slichot. Shalom to all.
Shalom, and thank you.
Shalom,
everybody.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Hello?
Malka?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I thought somebody else was asking a question. Sorry.
No, I was just saying goodbye.
All right. Good night. Shalom.